But in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, remember what happened in chapter 4. In chapter 4, John is called up into the throne room, and he gets to see the four beasts around the throne. He gets to see what's going on. He gets to see the 24 elders. Now in chapter 5, you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and Him taking what He's going to do. He's going to take control of the universe. In verse 1 it says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now, there's a question here of what's the book? It's got seven seals on it. Now, I used to think that that was probably either the book of Daniel or some of those books that's been sealed up. But basically, if you look at this thing, and I want to read a few scriptures here, especially in Daniel, what happens here is that this book that nobody could open, really, this book is probably the title deed to the universe. Now you gotta realize what's going on. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take control of the whole universe. He's going to get possession of the heaven and the earth. Now in the Old Testament, you've seen that God was possessor of the heavens and the earth. But let me ask you this. Today, who's in charge of the earth? Satan is. Remember what Paul said? He's the prince and power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says he's the god of this world. So, what do we know about that? We know that Satan came down. And what did he do to Adam? He convinced Adam to give him dominion over the earth. He took it away from old Adam. Adam had dominion of the earth. So Satan came down, and whether or not you see that, he deceived Eve and she gave it to Adam and he ate. And he took dominion over the earth. Well, here in Revelation chapter 5, what's going to happen is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take possession of the whole thing. He's going to take possession of the whole thing. Now, today, what about the heavens? In the book of Job, in chapter 15, I'll read that to you, Job 15, and verse 15, it says, "Behold, he puts no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight." So the heavens are not clean. Why? Because Satan and his angels occupy those positions in the heavens. The heavens are not clean. But here in Revelation 5, he's going to take control of it. Look at Daniel chapter 9, chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, in Daniel 7, 9 through 14 is the same basic event that's going on in here in chapter 5 in the book of Revelation. Now it says very plainly in verse 14, and there was given him dominion. Who is he talking about? Lord Jesus Christ. And glory and a kingdom that all the peoples and nations and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So here in Revelation 5, you've got the book, and it's got seven seals on it. See, I haven't changed my mind about Bibles today. When I go looking for a Bible, I look, see how many seals it's got on the back. He said, well, that's crazy. Well, it might be crazy, but I wouldn't buy one that didn't have it. And you know how I determine if it's a good Bible? Just look at Genesis. All you got to do is look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And if it's got an S on heavens, then it's not a good Bible. Because God only created one heaven. Ain't that right, Brother Dennis? Amen, brother. But I'm saying the old timers, when they created that King James Bible, they read Revelation chapter 5. But I don't think that's the Bible that they're talking about any longer. I don't see that anymore. But my Bible's got seven seals on it. And that's the way they did it. That's the way they did it back then. Revelation 5 and verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Well, there's no question about who that is, right? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came out of the tribe of Judah. And if you want to find that, you can find it in Genesis chapter 49. The scepter will not pass from Judah. That's where he came from. He came out of that tribe. The seed line came through that. And he is the one, the root of David. Matthew chapter 1, you see that he came through David. So it's not difficult to find this. And when he takes this book, this title of the universe, what's he going to do? He's going to take back what old Adam lost. He's going to take control of the whole thing. The whole universe is going to be his. He's going to possess the whole thing. And those seven seals on that book that he's going to open, all you got to do when we get into Revelation chapter 6, what are you going to find? You're going to find that the first seal is open. And what happens when the first seal is open? Out come this guy on a white horse. The first seal is open, the guy rides in on a white horse. And you can go down and we'll look at that maybe next week. Revelation 6. The first seal is going to be open and the Antichrist rides in and the tribulation period starts right there. And these seven seals, he's going to open them up. And you've got seven seal judgments. The tribulation starts when the Antichrist rides in. And we can see that. All right, verse 6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. John sees a lamb. He sees the Lamb of God. And this lamb that he sees has the crucifixion scars on it, like it had been slain. That's what John sees. John sees this lamb, and it's got those scars on it. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the earth. But you got to understand that when he gets the title deed to this universe, he is no longer going to be a lamb. He is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to rule this thing with a rod of iron. The next time he comes back, he's not going to be riding a donkey. He's going to be riding a white horse. And he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to rule with authority, because he's going to have control of the whole thing. All of it's going to be his. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having one of them, every one of them, harps and golden vials of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So John sees the Lord Jesus Christ take the book. And the vials, it says, the vials and the full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And he takes the book, and they fall down and they worship him. And what else do? They sang a new song. And if you read that and see what it says very plainly that they're talking about has redeemed us to God by what? By his blood. I don't know what the name of that song is going to be. It's a new song. But we sang a song that probably fits that pretty good. And I don't even know who wrote it. And since we've been down here, we don't sing very much. I don't know why, but I guess it's because, well, sometimes it hurts the ears. I don't know. But it's not something we do very much of. But Nothing But the Blood, is that a good song? Hey, they probably sang a Nothing But the Blood. I don't know. It's a new song. And they're singing something like that. Revelation 5 and verse 10, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Who in the world is he talking about? When most people read that, you know what they say? Oh, that's what we are. I had a Baptist preacher tell me a couple of weeks ago that we are kings and priests. People, we are not kings and priests. God never, ever promised the church that we're going to be a king or a priest. Get that out of your head. Who's he talking about? Well, here's the verses. You can write these down if anybody ever asks you if you're a king or a priest. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. In Exodus 19 verse 6, God dealing with the nation of Israel, what did he say? You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that I shall speak unto the children of Israel. How could that be any clearer than who's going to be kings and priests? the children of Israel. Now, most people are going to tell you, since in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, most people are going to tell you, since that's in what we call the New Testament, they're going to say that's us. And here's where they get it at. Chapter 2 and verse 9 of 1 Peter. But you are a chosen generation. Number one, they are a chosen generation. What generation is going to be chosen? Certainly not the church. We done went through a bunch of generations. The generation that's going to be chosen is the one that goes into the tribulation period. That's a chosen generation. And it goes on to say a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That leaves us completely out, does it not? We're not a holy nation. There's only one nation that God chose, and it's certainly not one today. A peculiar people, I guess you could say that. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. People, if that ain't plain, I don't know what is. We are not kings and priests. And we will never be kings and priests. That's not who we are. We're the body of Christ. That's who we are. In Matthew 19:28, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ, old Peter, come to him and said, we followed you and we give up everything. And old Peter, he's like all the Jews, he said, what are we going to get? And the Lord told Peter, said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, how much plainer can that be? So, what we're talking about here is kings and priests. And what I'm telling you is we're studying the book of Revelation. We're going through it verse by verse. But you will not find, I'll say this again, you will not find the church, the body of Christ, anywhere in the book of Revelation. It is not there. I don't care how much you search, it's not there. Why is it not there? Hey, the church is gone. The church is gone. We're not there. Revelation 5 and verse 11. And behold, and I hear the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, if you're good at math, you might be able to add that up. If you could add that up and get a good figure, then you could probably figure out about how many angels was there around the throne. But my Bible also says that you can't number them. So maybe there's no... I'm sure that they got modern-day computers can add that up and figure that up. But the whole problem is they don't know how many thousands the S means. But that's how many angels are around the throne. And these angels are saying what? They're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that in them, hear the saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. So all the creatures of the world, now he has the title deed to the universe. Now he has all that power, everything that's given to him. And now, since we're in the book of Revelation, we're talking about 3.5 years in the tribulation period. What happens? Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels, and they cast Satan onto the earth, and the heavens are clean. The heavens are clean, and that's what's going to happen. But today they're not clean. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now, all the creatures in heaven and in earth are going to worship him, for Jesus Christ has created them to praise him. They were created for his good pleasure. That's why they were created. Verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now who's he talking about here? Who are we talking about here? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that created all things. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought that over in the book of Genesis and the Old Testament that Jehovah created all things. Well, in the Old Testament, guess who Jehovah was? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who he was. He's the God who created all things. And all things were created by him and for him. And here it says that there were thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. See, that's what the heavens have, just like the earth is going to have, or just like the earth has today. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you see that? All things consist. So everything in this world today is held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body. He is the head of the church, the body. The church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. I can't even say that word. Verse 19, and it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him I saw whether they be things in the earth or things in the heavens. So in Revelation chapter 5, we see the fulfillment of what's going on. We see him take the title deed. We see him take the book and start opening the seals. And when he does that, he has possession. He owns the heavens and the earth because he created them. He created all things. Next week, if things work out, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 6. And like I said, he's going to open up the first seal. And when he does that, the Antichrist rides out and the tribulation period starts. Let me just say this. There is a time period probably that the Bible doesn't tell you about. The rapture takes place today. the next thing to happen on God's calendar is the Antichrist rides in. But the tribulation does not start until he comes on the scene. The tribulation does not start until the Antichrist shows up. So how long a period of time between the rapture and the time he rides in, I don't think nobody knows. Could be the next minute, or it could be a long period of time. The only thing I can tell you is that in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about that he's going to send the people on the earth when the church is gone. He's going to send them strong delusions that they would believe a lie. And they're all going to be damned. So when the rapture takes place, you got to realize what's going on this earth. Everybody that's left is what? Lost. There's not no saved people nowhere. And all hell's going to break loose because of that. The only thing that's holding back the whole thing is the Holy Spirit. So when the rapture takes place, you got lost people. And it's not until the tribulation period starts do you have the 144,000 show up and they start preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then you have the two witnesses resurrected and they start preaching the resurrection. They start preaching the gospel of the kingdom too. And remember what it says there in Matthew 24. When this gospel is preached into all the world, Matthew 24:13-14, when this gospel is preached into all the world, then the end will come. And he's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. So all that stuff's going to happen. Are you not thankful? Are you not thankful today that you are the luckiest people that ever was? We've been born into a time period where that we are saved by grace and kept by grace, and it's all about what he did for us and nothing about what we do. Are you not thankful for that? Okay, next week, chapter 6.